Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is the John Chuckery Show. Live in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. I am hanging out tonight with Ed Lover.
And yes. I'm happy to be here. I'm having a great time. No, thank you. Thank you.
So we just clear up. The real Ed Lover.
The real Ed Lover.
This is not
L-O-V-E-R.
This is not a mirage.
No.
This is not some guy that, you know.
Nobody else has my voice. So nobody can imitate me.
That's true.
Even if people don't recognize my face, if I start talking, they already know who it is.
Yeah. A lot of people say that about me. That
you do. You have a distinctive voice, John.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
If you said something and I never saw you, we were in the grocery store, you said something, I would turn around and go, aren't you John Chuckery?
Yeah, I've gotten that before from
Absolutely.
People. Absolutely. So 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. He is at King Ed Lover. I'm at JMCH316. He is at underscore Dylan Matthews. This is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. Now, Ed, we're going to dissect the game more in the next segment. But
okay.
Let's talk about a couple things here from this past week. First off, because we'll get to some audio from Arthur Smith here in just a couple minutes. Pro Football Focus is top grades over the weekend. Lindstrom came in at number one at 78.2. Now, these are offensive grades. Drake London, 78.2 for Lindstrom, 77.2 for Drake London. Michael Pruitt, third at 75.5. Caleb Huntley at 73.7. Kadarryl Hodge at 73.7 as well. You know, one thing I've said, Ed, is that this offensive line has taken a big step forward, and Chris Lindstrom is one of the top. Right now, Lindstrom is the number one graded guard in the entirety of the NFL.
That's beautiful.
He's been an outstanding player for this team. And that's been, to me, the big difference about the Falcons is, from a positional standpoint, this offensive line, I'll give them credit, for as bad as they were last year, they've taken this step forward this year.
And they were horrible last year. And they have taken a big step forward. You can see it. You can see it in how much time Marcus Mariota has to throw the ball. You can see it in the running game. You can see it 100%. That a lot of times the offensive line of the Falcons are winning the game in the trenches, 100%.
Yeah, and listen, that's been the biggest difference is if you want to run it successfully, everything has to start with your offensive line. And they've changed up the culture. If we talk about culture changes and things like that, it is definitely there. Pete Prisco has his NFL power rankings for the week. So he's got the Falcons coming in at number 24. So here, let me give the teams, Ed, that are below the Falcons and tell me what you think. He's got the Texans, Jaguars, Seahawks, Bears, Steelers, Lions, Panthers, and the Washington Commanders below
Absolutely.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you? I'm going to tell you this.
They all stink.
You might be able to make a case. Ready for this?
Yes.
That the Steelers are the worst team in the NFL right now.
Yes. That's crazy.
Yes.
That is. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season.
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
And they are horrible.
Nope.
I don't, first of all, what made them think Mitch Trubisky was any good as a quarterback? Where did they see that at?
I think they wanted to not have to rush Kenny Pickett in there as the starter.
Okay.
I think that they were hoping to bridge Kenny Pickett with Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
But to your point, you mean to tell me you couldn't have found anybody better
That's
to bridge
what I'm saying. That's
than
what
him?
Say.
Like, there had to be somebody
out there.
Right. I mean, it had to be somebody, right?
Somebody is better than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
I can at least win you some games.
Yeah.
Until Kenny Pickett is ready.
Yeah.
I guess not.
But that was what they decided to go with, and now we get the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh. But
and yeah. Is it too early for the Kenny Pickett era?
You know what? Here's the thing.
You could ruin a young quarterback by bringing him up too early.
But you know what, though? Hell, I mean, you're a first-round draft pick in the NFL. You need to get on the field and play.
That's true.
I mean, look, if it were a different organization, I might be more with you.
Mm-hmm.
But he plays for a great organization, a great head coach.
Great head coach.
A great culture, of winning. So I think that there are intangible things that help him around there. Now, if this was the Lions or the Panthers, who, by the way,
he'd
just fired.
He'd be in big trouble.
Yeah. Like, they just fired their head coach.
Yeah.
So
how much money did they give Matt Rhule?
He had 2 years left on his contract, so he got a bunch of money to still walk away.
Wow.
He only had 3 of the 5 years that he coached on his contract.
Wow.
Yeah, so he gets a whole bunch of money to walk away.
Yeah, a lot of money just to do nothing.
Yeah, he got Ed Lover money.
I wish.
But, you know, if it was a different organization than Pittsburgh, I would agree with you, but I just think that organization can help him overcome a lot of different things. But
yeah.
I'll give the Falcons credit. I mean, sitting at number 24, it's probably better than what we thought they would be.
Yeah.
Drake London came in this week at number 11 on Pro Football Focus's top 15 rookies. What have you thought about Drake London?
I think Drake London is balling right now.
Yeah.
I think Drake London is being what everybody thought that Drake London was going to be. I think he's balling, seriously balling. Right
I now. Thought it was important that he played well last week with no Kyle Pitts in that game.
Yes, so and I he
thought,
did.
And I thought he did well. I thought, listen, he helped him pick up a couple of key first downs. Thought he played well enough out there with having to kind of, for the first time, really be the guy that people would target on defense. With no Pitts, with no Patterson, he's the guy a lot of people were going to try to take away.
Yeah.
And I thought he played well enough. His stats don't blow you away,
right?
But he had some key catches for the Falcons on Sunday.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny, too, about the Falcons, just looking at the Falcons, period? This team bites into whatever the culture is right now. Normally, you see a team, and you got 3, 4, 5 stars that pop off the page, right? There's no Matty Ice. There's nobody like that on the Falcons, right? Mariota is serviceable at best, but they're all buying into it, and they're all playing hard for each other. And that's what makes the difference in a great team.
I will say this, and I'll say this as nice as I can. The difference between what we have at head coach now compared to the last regime, and I've said this for years, I never thought Dan Quinn was a very good head coach. I thought all the same mistakes that he made in year 6 was the same ones that he made in year 1. I don't think they grew, but they brought the right offensive coordinator in 2016. Matt Ryan had a monster year. You had Hall of Fame caliber players, and they found their way to the Super Bowl. But from a head coaching standpoint, I think Arthur Smith is light years better than even Dan Quinn. I think Arthur Smith is the reason why we're where we're at right now and even talking about the Falcons being relevant, because I think if Dan were here, we'd be talking about potentially a no-win team, but I think Arthur's made a huge difference.
I think they buy into Arthur Smith. I really feel like they buy into it. He's created a culture of winning with a bunch of guys that believe in each other.
Yep.
And I don't think Dan Quinn did that.
No, I agree with you, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it was
definitely not.
It was ugly. All right, let's get to some audio here. Let's hear from the head coach. Here's him talking about Deion Jones and how change in the NFL is constant.
Things evolve, and said that, you know, we very appreciate Deion and Foye and things they get. That's life in the NFL. I mean, it's just, everybody ever thinks there's going to be some lifetime appointment. You're in the wrong profession. That's why you better enjoy the journey and stay in the present and try to get better in the people as they come and go. And it's the way it is in pro sports and really any team, whether in youth football or high school or college. Change is constant and it's going to happen. And it doesn't mean you can't, you know, enjoy the journey while you're with those people and be very respectful and appreciative, which we are.
So I would tell you, look, I'll get deeper into this a little bit later on, but I've seen this coming for a while now. I've talked about this a lot, Ed. Look, Deion Jones was a cornerstone of this defense for the last handful of years. But I think for what they want to do now, in the way Dean Pease wants to play defense with his linebackers, I don't think Deion Jones was a fit. And to Coach's point, look, the last regime invested a whole crap ton of money in him. If it's not your guy and he doesn't fit what you want to do, you eat the money and you move on.
Absolutely.
You may not like it, but you know, everybody talks about ripping the Band-Aid off. Okay, that's what they did with all of that.
And it doesn't mean that you don't like the guy. It doesn't mean that you don't respect the guy. If he's not fitting the scheme that you're trying to put out there on the field, then he got to go. You got to just eat the money that you spent on him.
Yeah, and that's what they – when they restructured his contract, it was literally so it would be easy to trade him because the next team, the Browns, are only picking up – excuse me – like $1 million of salary. The Falcons are going to eat 20-something million dollars in the gym. Okay, I mean, it sucks, but – if you want to change up your roster, that's what you have to do.
If anybody want to get rid of me and give me $20 million to do it, please get rid of me.
Man, let me tell you.
Wow.
Let me tell you, man. I'll gladly take that as well.
Exactly, right?
Here's Arthur. Let's go to cut number three, Dylan. Here's Arthur talking about how they like to play everybody.
Even when he was in there, I mean, there are certain things, that, schemes that we may ask Tyler. Just kind of give everybody a role. We like to play everybody. We're not playing the backup quarterback yet in the two quarterback system. So, you know what I mean? D-Led, when he's the one guy that doesn't play. But we do play everybody. And so everybody's got different roles. That's why sometimes maybe it's fatigue, guy needs a break. Other times it may be a package that the game's within the games, like with Avery's touchdown run yesterday. There was something, if we had gotten a certain look, we would have run with him. And then we got the other look and got us in the right play and got him on the free safety and he made a little spin move and got in the end zone.
One thing about not being a super talented roster, Ed, is you play different guys and see what you have out
of them. Right.
And everybody is finding a role on this team. Like everybody's kind of, it's like a puzzle piece. Everybody's kind of finding out where they kind of fit in the whole big picture. Look, you don't have Matt, you don't have Julio, you didn't have Patterson, you didn't have Pitts, but they hung in there because you're getting guys in the right place, in the right scheme, and what fits what their skill set is.
And if you think about it, John, there's nobody in there complaining.
Right.
There's no moaning. There's no superstar. Oh, he has to have touches. Oh, why this guy's not getting touches? Everybody's buying into it because everybody's pretty much fighting for their job.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
everybody.
I mean, you've got a whole bunch of guys that, you know, the guys that are left are a lot on one-year contracts.
That's right.
And things like that.
That's right. So they got something to prove.
Now, we're going to talk about this in the next segment, but I'm glad that Arthur brought this up. Let's go to cut number five. Here's Arthur talking about how Kyle Pitts missing wasn't the reason that they struggled on certain downs.
Not necessarily. That wasn't the major obstacle. You know, a lot of it was, you know, you get an earned first, and then whether it was a penalty or, you know, negative play. And it wasn't like they were sitting there playing a lot of man where you needed somebody to win one-on-one every down. That wasn't going on. They brought a lot of different pressures, a lot of simulated pressures, a lot of shell look as they rolled down to the disguise and bailed out of there. You know, I think that's a trend right now, and certainly going against that, you know, as they give you a single high look and then they bail out, they're trying to make sure the ball's not thrown over their head. Maybe had a shot we were trying to take, and unfortunately we didn't get the play off. So certainly I love having Kyle out there, but if he's not available, it's my job to find out what's the solution. I don't. Well, if you don't win, you know, like that's a great subjective argument. But I think there were some things that we tried to challenge him on, and I certainly wasn't perfect. But ultimately, you know, we kept with the plan, and because if it's out of reach, it can get really ugly.
You can't coach the unknown.
Exactly.
You have to coach the guys you have at your disposal. And look, yeah, it sucks when Pitts and Patterson, but you can't coach thinking that, well, if we have these guys, they didn't. And they had to execute without them. And so you coach your guys. And I think that's the thing. And I'm going to bring this up in the next segment, that they didn't lose because Pitts and Patterson weren't there.
Definitely
like, that's not the difference between them winning and losing. They coached and they did what they had to do. But to Arthur's point, you can't coach the unknown.
That's right. You can't. You got to coach what's in front of you, and it has to be next man up. And again, I'll say it, I think that everybody on that team buys into that philosophy.
All right, when we get back, some thoughts about the Falcons. We'll kind of get into this game, and we got to talk about this Grady sack that was not credited to him. And
That's the reason they lost to me.
Plenty of things to talk about with this coming up next. John Chuckery, Ed Lover's hanging out with me here. We're in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Show
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Attention, adoring fans.
Back to more John Chuckery.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with the John Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening.
Oh, Dylan, think you're funny now, huh, Dylan?
That's Ed
the
Lover.
The rubber band man, I ain't tell you to go that far back.
Let me tell you, give me the spinners.
Say you
all
wanted
day
something
long.
Else.
Give me the spinners all day long.
Yeah, man. I love the spinners.
I
think Dylan has no idea who this is. You know that, right?
No, huh? God, no.
I know about this from Guardians of the Galaxy. Thank you very much.
Wow. Yeah.
See what I mean?
That's the reference?
That's the reference, Ed.
I'm with you, Dylan. I'm not mad at you.
You think you could name two other spinner songs?
Yes, come on. Give me two more.
Spinner can't song. Do it.
I didn't think so. Man,
okay. Can't do it. Yeah.
Thank God for Guardians of the Galaxy that you wouldn't know this one. Okay.
I mean, listen, his music library comes from Marvel movies. What does that tell
exactly.
us where we're at?
Thanks for Guardians of the Galaxy.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app so you catch us. When you're on the go, social media is at 929 The Game. He's at King Ed Lover. I'm at JMCH316. He's at _ Dylan Matthews. Hey, Kenny Mayne is back with season two of his podcast, Hey Mayne. Season two kicks off on Thursday with two of his former SportsCenter colleagues, Dan Patrick and Keith Oberman. They dish on all things money, egos, and the origin of the big show. Download Hey Mayne for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Sunday. Falcons lose, of course, 21-15 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Now, because Tom Brady's a crybaby. That's
yes.
why.
So I'm gonna say it like this from the very I want to say this from the very start. I want to get this out there. I want to make sure that this narrative is out there because I don't want there to be any confusion. The Falcons did not lose because they didn't have Kyle Pitts and Cordarrelle Patterson. They didn't lose because of Marcus Mariota struggling at quarterback, who didn't have 100 yards passing in that game until, I think, in the fourth quarter or whatever like that. I'm going to tell you, though, they also didn't lose because of that one call, but they certainly had the ability to have that game change affected by not one, but two calls in that game. Because I think the thing that people forget, Ed, besides the sack penalty on Grady, they had a third down play where A.J. Terrell got a defensive holding call where I don't understand that call.
At all.
He was within 5 yards. I didn't get it. But that gave them a first down and extended that drive.
It sure did.
Now, to be fair, we'll talk about the Grady play separate in just a second. They would have punted it. Falcons would have been pinned down deep. They would have had to driven the length of the field and try to score a touchdown. Maybe they would have. I don't know if they –
Maybe they got a field goal out of it.
Right.
We don't know.
Right. But, I mean, they would have had to score – because they were down by six. They had to score a touchdown.
Right.
So, I don't know what would have happened. But the problem with the Grady penalty is – well, there's a lot of problems with it. From my standpoint. Number one is the NFL is in full overreact mode because of what we saw with Tua Tagovailoa.
That's right.
They are panicked about the idea of another guy having his head snapped on the field and standing up and showing he's all loopy. And so now they're going to take it out on defensive players. And I don't know how you tackle anymore. I don't know how you play defense. I don't know how you sack the quarterback.
How do you sack the quarterback? Why don't we just put a flag on the quarterback? Just grab his flag, and that counts as a sack. This is the dumbest mess I ever seen. And the Tua problem is not an NFL problem. That's a Miami Dolphins problem because they should have never played him after that. He should have went on concussion protocol, but they tried to say it was his back, which anybody clearly can see he had a concussion. That is the most obvious concussion of any concussion I've probably ever seen except for a professional boxing match. Then they bring him right back out there. So now they're going to overreact, and because of their overreaction, you blew something for the Falcons. Suppose this was a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose that was a playoff game.
Right. Right.
Grady Jarrett did what he was supposed to do. What else is he supposed to do?
He can't do anything else.
If he'd have let Tom Brady go, Tom Brady could have jumped up and said, my knee never touched the ground and threw a strike down the field.
Or
right?
He would have been called for throwing and releasing a guy, because that's the other thing you can't do is you can't grab a guy and just throw him to the ground like he's a sack of potatoes.
Right.
And so when you're taught to tackle when you're young, it's wrap the guy up, take him all the way to the ground. Because last night, that Chris Jones sack, what's a guy supposed to do when he strips a guy of the football and he's trying to go down to the ground with him? How are you not going to fall on a guy?
Like, how are you supposed to stop your momentum?
Right, exactly. I mean, he'd have to be a Marvel character at that point
exactly.
to be able to do all of that. So it was the idea that the Falcons never got the football back to be able to go do something with it. But look. The NFL has a problem now with this because they've had two embarrassing plays back-to-back. The Grady – listen, a lot of –
That's as egregious as it gets.
Well, and a lot of the national media aren't exactly the biggest Falcon supporters, but even a lot of those guys looked at that play and said,
yeah,
this
did.
Is ridiculous.
They did.
Like what are you supposed
they
to
did.
Do?
On the two biggest chat shows on an early daytime television that I watched both of them say that that was ridiculous.
Yeah, and so – at some point, like, I'm going to say it like this. This is the best way I can describe it. They used to say in the old days that somebody would say, what is pornography? The answer was, you'll know it when you see it. So this is what I say now. When somebody asks what's roughing the passer or late hit, you'll know it when you see it. You could watch both of those plays from Sunday and last night and understand, oh, that's not really roughing the passer.
Right.
You got plenty of opportunity. You can see when it's roughing the passer. Intent will be there, going low on a guy.
Right.
There are things that will point it out very easily. But now the NFL's in a quandary because they've tried to put a verbal definition on all of this. It's football. It's momentum. It's physical guys. It's everything that you can't just put into words what a sack is and what a play is.
And especially in this day and age of football, John, because these young guys now are way faster, way stronger,
yep.
and way bigger than the guys were from back in the days. So these guys running at you, they're so fast, they're coming at you. How do you expect a 300-pound guy that runs a 440 to stop? And just say, okay, let me place him down. Are we supposed to pick Tom Brady up and rock-a-bye, baby, and then place him gently on the ground? This is football. When did the quarterback not become part of the football team?
And you know the other problem is, too, Ed, that it's been they have negotiated away so much of practices, padded practices,
yes.
training camp practices, that – you don't get to hit and practice any of this stuff anymore. Like, you don't – like, nowadays –
and guys still get hurt too quick.
Right. I mean, nowadays, you're not going in full pads in practice.
Right.
There are no such things as two-a-days.
That's right.
None of that stuff – even in college, you only get 20 hours a week with a guy. So by the time you game plan and do this and do that, you don't have a lot of physical full-contact scrimmages, practices, things like that. So you don't learn anything. Like, by the time you get to the NFL level, they're hoping that – you have been coached in all the fundamentals. Now we got to teach you our system and schemes and things like that. These guys don't get a chance.
They're not
to,
even really hit like that.
No, they don't get a chance to go through any of that. So how are you supposed to understand how to tackle if you never do it in practice?
Exactly.
If the only time you can tackle is on Sunday afternoon,
that's it,
how are you supposed to know how to do all this?
Yeah, and how are you supposed to react to it, and why are the refs making these dumb calls? I just don't understand it. Everybody's in panic mode now because of Tua, and then because of Tua, you robbed the Falcons of an opportunity. We're not saying that the Falcons would have won the game.
Right.
We don't know that.
You said it exactly correct. They got robbed of a chance.
Yeah.
And by the way, again, I'll say.
A momentum-changing chance.
Absolutely. And again, I'll say the A.J. Terrell penalty was, I think, farcical too. There was a lot of bad officiating at the end of that game did not. Now, look, I will say the Falcons got away with a pass interference call on that second-to-last play. But they're just, again, there were so many things about the way that that game ended. I'll give the Falcons credit for fighting back. I'll give the Falcons credit for – you know, they ran the football effectively. But you also can't get down 21-0 in an NFL game
and
think that, you know, you're going to just, you know, you can't just flip the switch and say, okay, now let's go win and all that. But the problem is when you watch that play, to your point, it took away a chance. It took away momentum. It kills your spirit at that point. And you can't – there was no way for the Falcons to recover from that call. Like, they never had a chance to recover from that call.
And can I say something too, John? And I think I speak for every football fan around the country. What made it even worse for us all was it's Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And we are so sick of every single call going in favor of Tom Brady that we don't know what to do. Ever since the forward motion thing. It's been all Brady, 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 Brady. He got away with Deflategate. He gets away with every single thing. And now he gets up, and he's bellyaching to the referees. And what do? Throw a flag in his favor. It's enough is enough, man.
You know, I don't know that there would have been another quarterback on Sunday that would have gotten the benefit
of
that call.
Nobody else would have. No.
You know, I don't think that somebody else would have gotten
Prescott
the benefit.
Dak Prescott wouldn't have got that call. No. Geno Smith wouldn't have got that call.
Right. I agree with you.
Only Tom Brady. No.
Right. I agree. I think that was – they looked at – look, referees are human beings too. And, you know, we were talking about on our Sunday Wade Ford tailgate show – that referee has refereed, I think, four games for Tom Brady since he's become a Buccaneer. And the Buccaneers have averaged 35 points a game in the four games that guy. And, again, I'm not trying to conspiracy theory, but
– I'll do it. I'll say it's a conspiracy.
Well, referees are human beings, too. And you get influenced
so
by
– are you just standing there in awe of Tom Brady the whole
time?
Well,
I think if the league is coming to referees and saying that we have to –
Protect our franchise quarterbacks.
Protect
of the league.
Right, protect our guys, and if we have to, you know, make statements about, you know, we err on the side of calling it versus not calling it. Because again, if you erred on the side of not calling that play, you could have theoretically gone back and reviewed it somehow and said, okay, this was. I mean, like targeting, like they would do that in college. Like, you know, you go back and you review it and say, okay, this was or was not targeting. It's just. That play was just so egregious at that point in time that it never gave the Falcons a chance to come back from all of it. Again, I'm going to say they didn't lose because of that.
No.
But you didn't get a chance to try to go win that game because of it.
We don't know if they could have won. And if they're going to call these bad calls because of the Tua incident, what's going to happen once we get into the playoffs and they make a call like that and cause some team – an advancement.
Yeah.
Or an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl.
You take the ball out of a team's hands that have a chance to come back and win a game, and they don't get that opportunity.
And that was third down, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem, is that both those penalties led to first downs that extended the drive and took the ball out of the Falcons' hands.
Absolutely.
All right, when we get back, Ed, you know exactly what this is going to be. What's Bugging Chuckery is coming up next.
I can't wait to hear this.
So here we go. Thankfully, Mike Tyson will not hit me in the ribs, so I'm going to have full wind, full lung power, and everything like that. So we will get to all of that next. We're hanging out in the Kia Studios. John Chuckery, Ed Lover here with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. We'll be right back.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So who is this person?
It's John Chuckery.
How are you shook?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you, the John Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Kia Studios. Ed Lover is
yes,
hanging
sir.
Out with me.
Yes, sir, and having a damn good time doing it tonight.
Yeah, this has been fun stuff.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Now, we will, 404, by the way, 741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929thegame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I am at JMCH316. He is at King Ed Lover. He is at underscore Dylan Matthews. We'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to ask you this because before we got a few minutes to kill here before we get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Okay.
But I don't think people of Dylan's age can fully appreciate and understand how important MTV was to my generation, to such a generation of people. And you were obviously very prominent in all of that.
Yeah.
You were there for a lot of the glory years.
You're on MTV Raps, yeah.
You know,
from 89 to 96.
So I don't think people can understand, because you watch MTV now and give that Drydick guy, whatever the guy's name is, Drydick, who does the Ridiculousness show.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they show. Like, it's 24 hours.
I don't know. They must be paying him a mint.
That show's hilarious, though.
But they play it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, how many episodes of that is there possible to have?
MTV had a lot of different shows and programs and actually played videos and broke music and made it possible for people all around the world to see different artists that they had never seen
right.
before.
And you know,
they brought back Yo MTV Raps. It's on the Paramount Plus network.
But, take Yo MTV Raps, and I can go the complete other direction and have Headbangers Ball.
Headbangers Ball, yeah.
And so I could go from Yo MTV Raps to thrash metal.
Absolutely.
And you would have shows that would be in those niches for different people.
Yeah.
Or if you wanted, obviously, all your top 40 stuff. Look, Dylan will never understand. When the video for Thriller came out.
Oh, my God.
It was appointment TV that
yes,
we had to go watch it.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I mean,
we had to.
Everything stopped.
Exactly.
Everything had to stop.
Our TV viewing just around the idea of, oh, my God, Michael Jackson's Thriller video is coming out tonight.
Yeah.
And it was a whole spectacle, an event, and there was a whole premiere.
People had Thriller parties.
Yes,
it was exactly.
And then, you know, there's a pregame show, there's a postgame show.
Yeah.
Like, everything about that was a whole event.
Because of social media right now, Dylan's generation gets everything so fast.
Yes.
All we had was TV. All we had was MTV and BET after MTV to spread videos across the country. See, what I like to say is what Yo MTV Raps was able to accomplish is we were able to take a local music that became a regional music to a national and international music.
Right.
I still meet people that were born in Nigeria and in different places that say, I learned how to speak English watching you on Yo MTV Raps.
The other thing I think, too, that doesn't get talked enough about is that musical artists of all genres embraced MTV.
Yes, they did.
And because they embraced it, I mean, whether it didn't matter if it was Madonna, if it was Michael Jackson, if it was whoever.
Like, we had James Brown on for a week.
Yeah, I mean.
We had Carole King on.
I
the great songwriter. They just did a Broadway play about Carole King.
If they had not embraced it, because this wasn't just brand new artists that were trying to come on the scene.
Right.
It was the established artists that also came in here.
That's right.
And embraced all of this. Like, they embraced the idea of music videos, and it became, look, you couldn't
a thing.
You couldn't release a song if you didn't create a video to go along
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
and you didn't get that radio airplay and get people to the record. I know Dylan's never going to believe this. You actually had to go to the record store and buy cassettes and CDs and records and all that stuff. That's how you got a number one hit.
That was a good time then, Dylan, when you actually had to go buy a record.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to go look for it and see if they didn't run out, and then everybody was going in a frenzy for
exactly.
it.
The only thing I had anything close to that was when I had to go get movies at Blockbuster.
Yeah, okay, now you understand. There you go. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same concept.
So when so the fact that all the artists embraced it of all genres, I would have to think that that made everybody's job easier too, just the fact that everybody wanted to be a part of what you guys were doing.
It was appointment television, and it was appointment for all the artists wanted to come through and do MTV
but
in
see,
one way
could
or another.
You, let me ask you this real quick. Could you do that today?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I agree.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, because it's because of social media and because of all these platforms where they can get it from.
Exactly.
It's not going to mean the same.
You know, like Taylor Swift is about to release an album next Friday.
Right.
Okay. She's done all of the song releases on TikTok, and it's all been social media, and she's got hundreds of millions of people that she can reach in an instant.
In an instant.
Yeah, that... You don't need to go on TV. You don't need to go do interviews. You don't need to travel around the country. I don't need to go to New York and do this show.
No.
L.A. and do this show. Go here to Chicago and do this show.
I can go on my
Twitter page. Like I'll look it up real quick. But I'll bet you Taylor Swift probably has. Let's see here. She's got 91.2 million followers.
Wow.
91.2.
I wish they had all this when I was on your MTV Raps. I would probably have 300 million followers.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to monetize that. Too.
So she doesn't have to do all the things that the artist had to do.
Right.
She doesn't have to hit the pound the pavement, hit the circuit.
She don't have to do
morning radio. Word out.
She don't have to do anything. No.
No. I can. She goes on TikTok, releases the songs. It's a whole.
She can do a TikTok video and put it out.
Yeah.
Gone.
I've seen the TikTok videos that she's released. She gets 9, 10, 12, 15 million views at a time on those things.
Wow.
Now think about that.
That's
think about
a lot.
How much you're. And again, we're not just talking about Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about global.
Global.
Like every corner of the world where if you got an internet connection, you can find out what Taylor Swift is
and
doing
you
instantly.
You know who Taylor Swift is.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Instantly out of all of it. So
that's beautiful for her.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All right. Let's get to I can't promise I'm going to be nice.
Okay, go ahead.
But
this is your show, John.
Let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Ed, last night the broadcast was Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Raiders, and we talked about the Chris Jones strip sack, and he got penalized for it because he used his body mass and fell on the quarterback. Well, Troy Aikman was doing that game. So, obviously, the Monday Night broadcast now is Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, right?
Yes.
They came over from Fox, okay? So, Troy Aikman made the statement, quote, "My hope is the NFL competition committee looks at this in the next set of meetings, and you know we take the dresses off." Okay?
Okay.
Now, we think it's kind of innocuous and all that. Well, another thing about 2022... Everybody is offended by everything that everybody says in the entire planet.
Yes, yes, they are.
So you had all kinds of women and news reporters and everything. Oh, well, why is he saying take the dresses off? Why is he being derogatory to her? He wasn't. It's a phrase. It's an analogy that if you can't understand what his point was. Troy Aikman was not trying to denigrate women.
No, not at all.
Talk down to them.
No.
Try to, you know, put them as second-class citizens and all that, saying that they should be in the kitchen. He wasn't trying to say any of that. The concept is that, look, even if a man in today's society wears a dress, he's effeminate, right?
Right.
Okay. That's all he was trying to say, that we got to make this thing to where it's a different mindset about hitting the quarterback. Like you and I bet you even Dylan, did you understand the reference that he was putting out there?
Yes.
And the context of what it is?
Yeah. It wasn't offensive at all.
And I know, again, because of where we're at in society.
And we're guys, and we're doing sports radio.
We're cavemen.
We're cavemen.
We're misogynistic.
Yeah, misogynistic.
You know, all of these kinds of things. That's where we're at with all this.
That's where we
are. So it's, again, you talk about things you can't even say or do anymore. Obviously, you can't say to take a dress off a guy because now you're going to offend all the sports media people.
Yeah,
and nobody's saying that they're bad, fire them, do this, they don't deserve all this, whatever like that. But again, there's no female linebackers in the NFL.
Not a one.
There never will be.
No.
Okay? I mean, it's not a bad thing in the world, Ed, to have things that for women only and things that are for men only.
It sure ain't.
You can cross over fans, okay? No problem. Cross over fans, reporters, things like that. But when it comes to, I'm going to line this person up at linebacker in the NFL, that's always going to be a man.
Every last time.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
forever.
It's okay that there are those kinds of things. But again, we can't separate. Everything has to be, this is the buzzword nowadays. Everything has to be, and I'm going to do my Neil Bortz voice, inclusive. Everything has to be inclusive.
Then how
now.
Come the WNBA is not inclusive then? The WNBA don't play with the same size basketball as the NBA. Why? Because they say women have smaller hands, right? Then play with the same rock that the men play with.
They got mad because they had the YMCA. Okay? What'd they do? Go make the YWCA.
Yes, they did. They
okay?
Did.
There's nothing wrong with that. They got mad about the Boy Scouts. Go create the Girl Scouts. What'd they do? They created the Girl Scouts.
Mm-hmm. There's male fraternities and females are called sororities.
I mean, it's again, it's not sexism, misogynistic, and all this kind of. And Troy Aikman wasn't trying to denigrate women with the comment.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
By the way.
No, again, he's saying the same thing that all of us believe is that this is ridiculous what we're watching now in the NFL and what it's become. You know, we're not trying to. There's a difference between protecting guys and taking away what the basic philosophy of the game is.
Exactly.
And it's a game of a guy lines up against another guy and wants to knock his dung in the dirt.
That's it.
Welcome to football.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
That's what the MMA is.
Yes.
That's what boxing is. Football is football. That's
it. Right. I mean, but again, as soon as Troy said that, I saw the tweets.
You know it, right? You know it automatically.
It's the blue checkmark media.
Yeah,
it's this person. It's that. Oh, Troy Aikman wants to. No, he's not trying to set the women's movement back 100 years.
No way.
Okay?
No.
And I'm speaking about this as a guy who is a father of a teenage girl.
I got four girls.
Okay. So nobody's trying to be misogynistic.
No.
Nobody's trying to denigrate. But at some point, everybody's got to lighten up on some of this stuff. At some point, everybody has, you know, this is what it is. At some point, just have some common sense about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
And stop using the word toxic masculinity on everything.
Oh, God.
That wasn't toxic masculinity. We are men. Can we please be men? That's all we want to be. We're not trying to stop any woman from being a woman. We don't care what you want to do. I don't care. But please, everything we say, we're not trying to drag women down. Please, stop it. We're not.
Exactly.
That wasn't offensive.
Troy Aikman didn't go into that game with some campaign to say, boy, I'm gonna stick it to the women now. Here we go. Oh, this play, I'm going to stick it. No.
No,
that's
not
what he said. And again, here's the sad part. The vast majority of people know and understand it.
Yeah.
Men, women, children. But there's a finite group of people that their job is to be offended by everything. their sole purpose in life and how they make their money or their fame or their notoriety is we have to be offended by everything, by every little statement. And that's what we get to is that's where we end up with all of this. Because again, when you start to go after and just denigrate the person for what he said, you're not going to win anybody over.
No.
You're not going to win. You're not going to get anybody, rally anybody to your side.
No, not at all.
By trying to act like you're on some higher purpose mission, you know, and what you're trying to protect.
For every single thing. You can't say anything anymore.
No, you can't.
No, you got to be careful.
And that's what's bugging Chuck. All right, listen. Are you hanging around? You leaving? What are you doing?
I got to get out of here.
Okay. All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Ed, man, this was a pleasure and an honor. I look forward to you coming back in and hanging out with me.
I am. I promise I will.
All right. We're going to talk about Deion Jones when we get back from the top of the hour. So when you're in your car, make sure you put the radio station on and listen to what I have to say about Deion.
I listen to you anyway, John.
Tell Dylan, I listen to
Chuckery all the time. So it's an honor and a privilege.
I believe it.
And when they said, you're sitting there with Chuckery, hey, I was like, opinionated man.
Ed listens to me more often than you produce the show.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
there you go. Boom.
When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll talk about Deion Jones. Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.